Can you predict what will come in 100 years? Or in 10? Or in the next minute? Some people think they can. They'll predict the shape of the future because they make the future. Because they see beyond the known dimensions of time and space into the unknown, Dimension X. We go ahead now in time.
Cosmic ray bomb they're testing out in the Pacific tonight.
A sparkling crystal diamond, vibrating at a higher frequency so y'all don't have to bother none.
Long run, our ship will make the CR bomb back page stuck.
Come take a listen.
Half the principles in this ship are pure theory.
Let your sensorium be nourished as Matt sheds light on the millennial ecstatics of the day.
So keep your mic open and keep talking. If anything goes wrong, we want to know exactly why.
I just returned from the toilet.
It is 8:57, and we're with Kenny Laurie.
I've just come
back from the toilet. Who just returned from the toilet.
Go on. You may have noticed an audio break, but I just went to the toilet. And
tell us about that.
So I went to the toilet, standard job.
Mm-hmm.
Got it all out.
Oh, that's
everything,
good.
Textbook.
What's your process?
Number one, obviously, right?
Number one, of course.
Y'all say number one, right?
Yeah. I didn't sully your toilet. But I had some trouble with the lock.
Mm.
And I've often thought that there should be a word. You know, like in German, they stick words together to make one word.
I did not know that.
Yes. Like Schadenfreude or whatever. They glue words together to make one whole.
Fantastic. Yeah, yes.
Wonderful Germans. Who speaking German could be an evil man?
Yeah.
There are only 2 beers left. I feel like this group may not
they,
be, but you guys...
They have beer. They have their beer.
We have our own beer.
And you didn't put it in the fridge?
No, they're here.
Okay. No.
Save
I don't believe in fridges.
I offered the fridge.
He offered the fridge.
Okay, I'm throwing the beer. Catch.
No, don't do that.
He offered the fridge before he offered the guest bathroom.
He offered the fridge. Why offered... does this whiskey pour into my house?
What?
Kentucky bourbon. Why can't I pour it
Sounds like a personal problem. Kenny's in the middle of a very intense story.
He's talking about his bathroom break.
That's it. So I feel like there should be a German word. We might have to recourse to German to find a word for the feeling you get when the instant you realize the toilet lock is broken.
Ah,
and you,
that's for, good.
Then
that's
there's a
good.
Millisecond when you wonder, will you live and die in this toilet?
Right.
And like, are you going to have to get married through the door?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I remember when I was a kid and I sometimes, you know, lock yourself in the toilet. And I remember thinking, I'm going to have to get married through the toilet door. As a 7-year-old,
that's
not
your
realizing.
First thought?
It was like, well, I'm going to live and die. And it was like, well, what are the milestones?
Who are you going to meet
well,
from the bathroom?
Now, see, this is my point.
I'm going to marry mom through the door.
This is my point, was that when you're a kid, it's excusable because you're, what if I have to do this marriage through the toilet door?
I feel like maybe
that's
this.
Bizarre.
I think maybe we could tie this into American optimism because when I was a child and I was locked into the bathroom,
it was a world of opportunity.
Yeah.
I was very optimistic that somebody would break.
Now
me
I
out.
Have my own. Now I have my own province. I can.
No, we give up. So can I, well, this is home now.
Now, do you want to?
At least I've got water.
I went to a. I went to a job interview, where I went to the bathroom before the interview started, and the lock broke while I was in it, and so I had to have people I've never met break me out of the bathroom.
What?
You got the job.
To go to my job interview. It was so embarrassing.
Did they kick the door in?
Wow, that's an
intense
story.
Had to. No, they picked the. You know, you don't
sure.
have to break the door. I just had nothing.
Were
to...
Were you still shitting when they broke in?
Yeah. I wasn't done yet. A fresh one hit me while they were breaking it down.
Why couldn't you finish when we got it? Sorry.
No. Sorry. It was just...
You know when you pinch the lock?
Can you lock it again? But stay there. I want to come back out.
Actually, can you hold the door?
Do I have the job?
Yeah. Can you just hold it?
Put your hand under my qualifications, I'm a...
So what... Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's your worst trait?
Sometimes I'm not a trier. Yeah.
But now I am.
Yeah. I did not get a job.
Yeah. Bloop.
Who broke you out?
Like
the people involved in the hiring
the CEO.
Process.
There was like a girl at the desk who heard me pounding on the door. She was like, and I was sweating. Like I was so embarrassed. And it was
more for them though, right? Because that's nothing to do with you, unless you broke the lock toilet, did you?
Well, I feel
like no. I mean, it obviously wasn't my fault, but like it's just like I was new in the country. So I spoke no Turkish.
Ah, you in Turkish?
And like I didn't like just take like a dump or anything, but they don't know that. As far as they know, like this fat American just
came in, clogged their toilet, just
napalmed their toilet and then broke the knob off. I don't know. I was in a world of self hatred.
There's
at the time.
So many things that come to your mind when you get locked in a toilet.
Yeah, and none of them are good. And yeah.
I do actually remember. Sorry,
you can't look like the smartest guy in the room when you've just locked yourself in the bathroom.
Steve Jobs never got locked in a toilet.
No, to recover from that, that's next level interview type skills.
To stroll out with a swagger. Like,
so what's up, Frank? Do you want to know my name? Here's my CV.
I just nailed it in that bathroom. You'd be lucky to hire me.
Yeah. It actually smells better in there now.
I fixed your door.
I had a friend, this Vermont friend, who I was living with in Turkey, as well as Beirut, and he got himself locked in our flat toilet. And he was like, Kenny, can you come and kick the door in? And like, you want to hold the handle down so that the frame doesn't come out when you kick the door in.
Yeah.
So I was like, you hold the handle down and I'll just come and charge the door. So he held the handle down. And I went charging into it, and and he's got completely squashed behind the door.
Yeah.
It was great. He's a wonderful man. He's dead now.
Yeah, he died that night. A hero.
I feel I'm tempted to make up a locked in the bathroom story, but I haven't.
Sure, no.
I've had great... Oh, I could... Well, that's...
You're not a survivor. Survivors won't understand.
Yeah. Don't do your stolen valor. I mean, we don't want to pretend you were in the war if you
weren't.
Just
accept that you're one of the lucky people that has been locked in a toilet.
I do have an intense bathroom story, but it might be a little too intense.
Yeah.
Would you give birth?
Yeah. I helped someone give birth.
That's great content. No, too intense is...
Finally someone will listen to your podcast.
I know, right? Well, okay,
what questions
fine.
Are next?
I'll say it. Nobody's listening.
Look at your notes.
No, I want to hear this bathroom story.
It was in high school. Went to go use the bathroom at a mall, and someone... It was a shitty way that... Shitty, no pun intended, set up for the bathroom. There was a... The urinals were right in front of where you had to... You know,
urinal for English people, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Urinal. But not all of them
continue.
Say it.
Yeah, I know urinal. Yeah.
Urinal.
Yeah.
Do you say that?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Urinal.
Yeah. Carry on.
I've met people who don't say it.
Really? Well, urinal.
Yeah, they say urinal.
Wow.
It's a benighted country.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right.
Do continue.
Where were
you having a shit?
I was trying to, at least, and there was no door on the stall.
Oh, one of those.
Yes. Oh, like an open air. So you couldn't get locked in if you tried.
Yes.
That's hard to do your business when...
Yes. But nature
called.
When you're
called. On stage.
Yes, exactly. Nature called. There was no door. A guy comes in, and he's at the urinal right in front of me. And it was obviously the way the bathroom was set up is there should be a door, obviously. And so I could see what was going on right in front of me. I mean, the urinal was right there. And he started pleasuring himself.
What?
Yes.
Didn't see that one come in.
What? Will you do me a favor? What's that?
Will you please stop for the vodka? I've been waiting and he's not coming
in. I'm in the middle of a very intense story.
Okay. Talk about someone wanking in the toilet.
Watching them shit and wanking.
I just stopped my cigarette at the door.
Well, here, take your whiskey.
Great, you win this round.
Okay, who ate garlic? I have to check my smell. Did you eat something garlicky?
Like 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
But she can smell it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't brush my teeth as a rule.
I think it's like waffling.
That's where the English thing comes in.
It's coming.
There was I did notice something as an Englishman in America when I went there on holiday, like 5 years ago, was the gap between the toilet door and the wall is really large, and everybody can see you doing your business.
Yes,
really
weird.
Gap between the toilet door
and it was consistent. And I went coast to coast. I went Boston, New York, Dallas, San Francisco, and in every public toilet I went into, there was a massive, at least an inch gap.
I want to stop you right here before you
denigrate your country.
Before you start a war. Yeah.
Before you plagiarize Jerry Seinfeld, his latest special, he talks about this.
Oh, really?
Oh.
There was also another thing. Can I?
He can riff on this for
us. Can I shame your country for a moment?
Please.
I was in Dallas.
Okay.
With my uncle who lives there, who's English but has emigrated and is now an American citizen. And he started swapping his T's for his D's and sounds more American as a result. Party, rather than like potty. And
party, yeah.
And
potty.
Yeah, potty. And he, me and him were in a bar in Dallas, and your classic Dalician woman, like a barmaid, like with like a cowboy hat, and cowboy boots, and peroxide hair, and everything else.
Cody Ugly sort of situation.
Yeah. This it was straight out of the film, and she came up to us and she's like, "Hey guys, what can I get you to drink?" And we went, "Oh, we'll have a beer, thanks." And she goes, "Oh, that's a cute accent. Where are you from?" And we went, "We're from England." She goes, "Oh, great. What state's that in?"
Was she fucking with you?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what? There's a real, like, earnestness I find to Americans. Real earnestness. Where they're like... And it's funny as well, because actually, I think in a lot of countries, particularly in England, the stereotype of American is that they're insincere, right? They say nice things when they don't mean it.
Right.
And they're just like, "Oh, it's great. You're such a good guy. I hope you're, you know..." And, but there is actually, like, a real sincerity to the things that they say. And as I remember my dad telling me that he went through customs in America once, and he goes, and the woman like stamping his passport, or the guy stamping his passport, went like, "Where are you from?" Whatever. He's like, "Scotland." And and she's like, "Oh, I've heard Scotland's amazing." And he went, "Well, the grass is always greener." And and she goes, "I heard that the grass is greener." And there's actually kind of like a innocent, like, purity sometimes to the discourse between America and the rest of the world. They really take you at face value, I find.
Right,
Americans,
right.
They really take you at face value, which is a hindrance and a plus.
Right.
And it's certainly quite charming in the right places.
Right, and one of the things, this gets to one of the things I want to talk about, the optimism of Americans, and that is one thing that's interesting I see working with people. And as a therapist internationally, that is something that I found people appreciate about America, being in America.
Yeah.
Everybody's so positive, like, "Oh, you want to start a business? Oh, you could do that. That'd be awesome if you did that. That's
very can do.
Awesome." Yes, very can do. Very like, it's going to work out.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
I got a theory on it.
Positive. Let's hear it.
I got a theory on it. So if you think about...
I brought nuts, guys.
Nice. Did you get locked in the toilet too?
Did you bring your chode?
I dipped my chode in the nuts.
You can't go anywhere without it. my theory on it is that America's a really unique place for a lot of different reasons.
Because it's the beacon of freedom?
Because it's a beacon of freedom. One of them, I think, is that it's one of the few countries that has had a revolution and kept hold of its revolutionary principles.
Right.
However, however the individuals have chosen to interpret it, but each individual has maintained what they believed the revolutionary principle to be. And the other thing is, it is a country made of people who are not just immigrants, but traveled long, long distances to do it.
Right.
You really, if you were from, like, I don't know, Italy in the 1880s and went over to America,
I would never.
You're going a seriously long distance on a punt. I mean, you getting over to the other side alive is a bit of a gamble. And, you know, say like the snake oil salesman, that's kind of like an archetype of America. That's,
you mean entrepreneurs?
Yeah. Yeah, presidents. The they're a really unique part of America. You wouldn't go over unless you were an optimist.
Right.
You're going
right.
such a fucking long way. Right. To a country that didn't exist, you know, however many years before.
That's and you why wouldn't we have even heard Turkey.
Of it. Before mass media, you wouldn't have even known what you were going to.
So Matt would have totally gone.
No, I would have stayed right where I was.
No, it would have gone.
We're saying this as people who have moved out of America.
Right, right. No, but check this out. Let me give you my theory.
You would have to be pretty unhappy to go, but I think you would have gone. And Matt said, unless he met me, he was going to be a PE teacher in the county he was born in.
Everyone's ambitions change. My ambitions when I was a 19-year-old was working in a phone shop.
That's a whole other story, my man. I'm not a world traveler by nature.
But that's why. Like, if you had a chance to be like, hey, there's this other place where nobody's going to be in your business, and you get to have your land and you get to decide how you live, you wouldn't go.
No.
Well, actually, yeah, you did get scared when we went out.
No, I don't want to travel. I'm glad my ancestors did. But, no, but check this out. Americans, this is my theory. This is a joke I was trying to do. All of America was founded on... It was Europeans trying to get away from their families.
Is that the joke?
It's the premise. Gotcha. Okay, we're workshopping
yeah.
here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Let's think I get it out first.
Is this a safe environment?
From their parents, maybe not their
yeah, their parents. It's like Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
And they're just like...
Getting out of there. Yeah.
Feel judgment right here. Maybe it's because maybe I should pitch this to the
you give it to me. Fuck this guy.
It's the negativity of the
English. They're all about bringing you down a little bit.
Yes, yeah. we do like to bring
them down. Bring it to the optimism.
Yeah. Bring it to
you
the...
laugh at your joke as long as you laugh at his joke.
Exactly. It's a win-win, right?
We're based on equality.
Right.
We don't have class.
No, that is true about America. There's less of a class thing.
We have no class.
From what I know, I mean, that's
you consciously don't have class.
What? What? Yeah. Well.
No, that's something I've heard many times that the English are
yeah, it's
bringing
not...
you down a peg.
Oh yeah, oh. Yeah. No, that was actually the point of like the optimism thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was going to get onto, but carry on with your point.
No, go ahead. You go.
No, you.
I've lost.
My no, mind. You go.
I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Americans. Immigrated.
Should we talk about your dicks again?
To get away from
no, parents. What was your point? Let's hear it.
It was a thing we talked about before we recorded. Was in England, the culture for sure is take you down a peg or two. Right? Now, you hear that a lot.
Really? Okay, so that's a thing. Take you
that's
down
a thing. Take you down a peg.
We got to take this guy down a peg. We got to take this knob in down a peg or two. Yeah. Am I right?
You're doing it now.
You're bringing yourself
down a peg. Your clients
are going to
be so happy.
Now listen, today we're going to do something right. I'm going to take you down a peg or two. I think there's some...
Do you hear me, bell ends?
I think there's... I don't think it's a total negative, right? Because you need to be humble about yourself.
Right.
And definitely for sure, Americans, a lot of Americans definitely
humble
suffer...
Humble about yourself for what purpose?
Well, for
so
anything.
You can call
for life.
Other countries and feel superior, maybe.
Well...
Let him get through it, Bonnie.
I think he got through it. Does he need water? Did you ask him if they need water?
We're the lowest maintenance
Let's
guest you can hope for.
This is where the Turkish thing comes in. Badu has been obsessed ever since he's come out to the garden in this process.
Because I know you.
Is it not?
Also, everyone that went inside. Polite,
she's been obsessed with, do they have food? Do they have water?
Yeah, they're probably tired and thirsty.
From their travels. From their travels down the street.
We just got back from
the
desert.
The same place?
No, I've just moved. But
where did you move?
Jahangir.
Near here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I live in Osman Bey.
Oh, okay.
They're famous for
it
their
was
travels.
It was a thirsty journey.
From their journeys.
I dragged myself to your front door.
Yeah, I guess.
We went for a beer around the corner before we got
home. Did you bring anything from the throw their cigarette butts?
Yeah, your beautiful garden.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to
Our neighbors.
Yeah, in his window.
Bono, your Turkish hospitality is fucking with the flow. Okay, continue, Jenny.
That's minimal hospitality. Look, I'm going to bring some water.
She can't help herself.
I love how hospitality can be forced in your face.
Yeah.
And it reaches the level of
inhospitality.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're good.
Okay. I think the Americans might be more likely to be like, we're hungry, we're thirsty.
They're more likely to, but not him.
Yeah, yeah. As a race, we're more dehydrated.
No, I was shocked when I first went to America. I was staying with the host family. They had a kid. It was 11. They had a son who was 11, and he had a friend.
The thirstiest boy I've ever met.
No, they told the friend to go home because it was time for dinner.
It's like a camel.
Like, can you imagine? They told this kid. Uh-huh. They said, "Hey, tell your friend we're eating dinner. He needs to leave." And the kid said, "We need to leave. We need to go home." And I was like, "That's the rudest thing I've ever heard."
Oh right, yeah, yeah,
right.
Well, no, but family dinners are.
Right.
A thing, yeah.
That's totally a thing in America to be like, yo, tell your friend yeah, it's time to go.
Go eat in your family table while we eat it.
In England, we suffer in silence.
Yeah, in Turkey too. I mean, my mom was trained me to read the parents' faces, so if it was time for dinner,
right.
If I smelled any cooking, I had to just jet out. Seriously, like, if the mom looked slightly unhappy, you have to leave, even if they beg you to stay. It's like a thing.
Yeah, I think that's actually...
And if you're really
I think there's a lot to be said.
I think there's a lot to be said for
you don't have to feed.
It's polite to offer people water in an ashtray, yeah. too.
I think there's...
But once we say no thank you...
But I don't know if your no thank yous are... He never said no thank you.
Yeah, I did.
You said you ever... Did you say it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't smoke, so...
we can go back and analyze this. This is somebody's...
She doesn't trust my no thank yous.
You're what?
Who do you think I'm suffering in silence?
Yes.
Because that's what you do, right? If he didn't offer you anything, then you'll be like, hey.
Chris, you have a chance. Throw her off the balcony right here.
No, you have a chance.
She'll understand that.
No, because if she grabs this and leaves, then I have to explain it why I did it.
Okay, the reason why I did it.
Do you really need to also?
Once she pulls herself back up.
Do you need water, though?
Yeah.
But are you thirsty?
No.
I do think if I tried to kill her, that would be her first words. Like, oh, that was rude, but do you need any more water?
No, better yet, actually, you'd have to deal with the lady downstairs if you threw me down into the corpse.
Right, and then she'd start offering me water. Yeah.
No, this corpse just landed in my garden.
Do you need some water?
She screamed at us.
In what context? Tell me everything.
Because we were being loud. We weren't even being loud.
We're never loud.
We were I'm yelling right now. Because it was like 1 o'clock and we were playing some music, but it wasn't loud. But Matt was drunk and dancing. But not even like...
Matt.
I wasn't.
Dancing a lot. She's just very miserable.
Jesus, Matt.
Matt.
No, I told you straight up that I had water out here. Yeah. I was speaking for myself. But.
You did, and that's why I asked him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't believe any of us.
I'm good.
Yeah, you have to check twice.
Turkish hospitality is very suspicious.
It's very aggressive.
I don't think that he means what he says he means.
But you know that you're supposed to ask a few times.
Yeah.
Because nobody... But if you say yes in the first place,
it becomes an interrogation.
Yeah.
Or actually, you're supposed to bring it
case
anyway, even if they say no. Like, look, yeah. They said nothing about nuts. I brought nuts. They're eating it. Case in point.
Yeah. We can't we'll not eat
it,
nuts.
We'll take it if you put it in front
we're
of
only human. Yeah, we're like
we have
animals.
Plums. You want plums?
As long as you drop it in front of me.
But I think they want to talk on the podcast. I think
sorry,
what
they I want. Didn't know that was still happening.
It's going to take a long time. We digress Sheep. A lot.
Sorry, go ahead and talk. I'm not in
holy hell.
This is funny.
Is it?
No, but speaking of hospitality, since we're on this, when I was a kid going over to my friend's house, like we was playing with my friends, they would always, the mom would be like, Matt, do you want some food or water or something? And I would say no because I didn't want to put them out.
Exactly. Right.
And my parents had to do an intervention and say, if they ask for that you want some water, just take the water, you know.
Wow. See, that's very, very un-English.
Really?
Very un-English.
So y'all don't take the water.
Don't take the water.
Exactly.
And you would be told not to take the water.
No, they wouldn't tell you. It's just, it's a weird language. You know, you've seen those like BuzzFeed things where it's like, this is what people, this is what
which Disney princess
this is what
are
they
you?
Say and this is what they mean.
Yeah.
And it is true, but it's a language that we understand between ourselves. So it's like, how is
it? It's an organic thing. It's almost unspoken.
Yeah. You say no and you bring it to them anyway.
I think most social mores are unspoken.
No, it's not. It's not. No, you don't bring it to anyway.
Guys, I don't want to be controversial.
It's more like on the third refusal.
You started
thing.
It.
Yeah.
Can I get you some water? No, no, I'm fine. Thank you. Honestly, it's not a problem. No, no, I'm fine. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, okay, okay.
That's why I asked it a few times,
man. Well, where do you draw the line? What if someone just doesn't?
Well, you just don't have it. No one in the culture does it.
You acquiesce to stop the...
Well, I remember offers. When I was in Lebanon, I've definitely told Chris this.
Yes, I want water.
When I was in Lebanon...
But I want Matt to go get it. Because I still have my whiskey.
My mum was visiting, and this guy, fair. My neighbour...
Doesn't put me out.
...bumped into me and my mum, and it was her last night. And he was like, do you want to come over for dinner tonight? And I was like, that's very kind of you, but me and mum are going to a restaurant for dinner. It's her last night. And he was like, no, it's not a big deal. I'll cook, blah, blah, blah. And he said, no, it's very kind of you, but we'll...
This we're better gonna, end in a dead cat. We're I'm gonna, not going to laugh.
And then murdered his cat. and he just kept going on. He was like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, listen, it's very kind of you, but we're going to a restaurant. Okay, so thanks anyway.
Oh, then he shot you.
Yeah, no, yeah, no. But then he was like, well, Kenny's not moving. I'll go to his mum. And he was like, red wine or white wine? And she was like, well, red wine. Thank you. It would be lovely. Thank you. And, it, and I was like, mum, like that. Now he's hooking you in, and he was like, okay, then it's settled. Like 8 o'clock, come over to mine. I was like, and he started walking away. I was like, just so you know, we're not coming, right? And I said to mum, I was like, see this. I get trapped in this all the time because there's two options here. Either we go out to a restaurant as we'd planned and as we wanted to do, and he's cooking at home and then nobody comes over and then we all look like twats. Or
twats.
We go over...
He's a twat.
Or we throw away our plan and go and eat at some... As far as you're concerned, a stranger. He's my neighbour, but as far as you're concerned...
Hospitality is a selfish endeavour.
Yeah, there's a limit to it. Yeah.
It's aggressive. It's oppressive.
Mm. It's like virtue signalling. Look how good I am. Rude.
Okay, you want to hear one of my biggest childhood traumas?
Yeah, this is intense.
Oh, 100% I do. I thought you'd never offer.
I had you at worst childhood trauma.
Yeah.
This was... You
okay. Put me in.
So
it's going to be sort of a buzzkill.
Yes, that wasn't that big of a deal.
But it was you so
won't
traumatic.
See, yeah, you won't see it as anything.
But it killed her soul.
Water in the picture? Right. Bring
I'm not bringing any water.
Then bring the rest of the nuts.
I'm not doing that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so I'll tell you what.
This is the second most traumatic thing that's happened to her after the story she's about to tell.
No, I went to my... women do these goons, they call them, right?
Days.
They invite a bunch of... Yeah, but they invite a bunch of other women. And then the kids can go over.
It sounds terrible.
And this girl was like... Yeah. And then this girl was like my friend. And so we went. This was in the summer house. So everything's more casual. And then the mom had made this big tray of this lovely, delicious tart. Kind of thing, and I got a piece. And then the mom kept asking, "Do you want another piece?" And I really did, but of course I know to say no. And then she asked me three times, and I'm like 9 or 10 at this point. And the third time I said yes, and just down the whole thing was great. And then going home, my mom fucking—I mean, you would have thought I tried to rape a kid. I mean, she was so mad at me about the shame I brought onto the family.
I've raised a monster.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally like, you brought so much shame. Maybe the father was going to eat that cake, and now I can never look at their face again. Yeah. I mean, it was just so terrible.
I do have a thing on this, that you leave the cake uneaten, right?
Sorry?
Chris has heard
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah, you can leave it uneaten.
Chris has heard this theory
but
propounded.
But this was the second part.
Never.
The first one, yeah.
But I told you about the armchair rest in like a theater or an airplane.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Is that it's better to leave it untouched. Because then it's two people showing respect for each other.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
The first piece, but actually the second piece I took, that was the fault. The first piece you're supposed to offer you eat, you don't eat.
Yeah, eventually it's entrapment, right? They just keep offering it to you and you finally accept.
And
they're like, ha-ha!
I can't win.
Yeah, there's no winning.
No, like, if I said no the third time, she would have let
I'm grateful.
Go. Because the second piece, nobody says yes to the second piece. Unless you're like at a family's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If it's my aunt or something, I will say yes to the second piece.
But I'll say this story has traumatized me.
My mom was so mean about it.
I never want to eat again.
No. Can you please take these nuts away?
We have more nuts.
No, I never want to eat nuts again.
That is, I will say that is the sincerity of Americans. I feel like if they offered you a second piece, they actually would like you to have the second
piece.
Right. Yeah,
and if you want to,
I would
say yes. and it's not a big deal.
No, that's what the thing is.
Americans don't give up anything they would want to.
If they want
to,
right. If they want that second piece of cake, they'll keep it and put it in the fridge.
That's why I fled to America.
That's capitalism, baby.
College, I loved it. That's one thing I love about American culture. And we would watch TV shows. Two things about American culture really confused us. One, people putting their feet on the table when they're talking to someone. Somebody puts their feet on the desk. That seems like a super...
I gotta say, that's starting to affect me too, yeah. Mm. It's part of...
Really?
Although I do it.
You do it?
I do it, yeah.
Who does it? You do it at school, like when you're working?
Definitely not at school, no. My office mate does. But no. I don't do it at anyone's home. I do it at my own home.
Yeah, I mean, you do whatever you want in your home, but it's like somebody comes to your office and somebody has their
feet
up. The other one is opening somebody's fridge. Like, you go to your friend's house and you say, what's there to eat? And open the fridge.
Oh, no, I don't know if we... Do we do that?
I mean, you have to be a certain level of friends to do
it. Yeah. I wouldn't just do it randomly.
But
no,
it
would be wild to do it to, like just some random person.
Opens somebody it's bold. It's a bold fridge. Move. Like in Turkey, like I would not go to my aunt's house.
Oh, once your friends.
Your aunt? Oh, I'd definitely do my aunt, yeah.
No, I mean, no. Eh. Unless she told me to get something from the fridge, it's like your personal area. And the same thing with bedrooms, like it would never go into somebody's, like the parents' bedroom.
Here's what I did to my aunt. On my brother's wedding night, I was sleeping at my aunt's. I got...
I'm listening.
I got...
Are you recording?
I wasn't used to...
To get things back,
let's digress really hard.
Let's go back to something a little more lighthearted and Kenny's times on the farm.
Yeah.
And seeing
things. Seems to be the thing we've come back to.
Let's get more lighthearted. Tell us more about animal death.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes.
Is that what you wanted to know?
I do want to know about that because we haven't got there.
Because
last we heard there was a cat. It was dismembered. There was an eyeball.
That was the tip of the iceberg.
And you said that was just... Okay, so...
Yeah, what else has been dismembered?
He lived on a proper farm, Banu. Okay. A proper farm.
Proper. Worked on it. Worked in on England. It. Didn't just live on it. Worked on it.
A proper
he worked
one.
On, a proper... He was a proper...
Yeah, yeah. In proper England.
Well, you just want to hear the grossest stuff?
Yes.
The ones that come to mind are twofold. The grossest two. One was a stillborn inside a cow, where it was kind of getting toxic shock, like if you leave it in there too long.
Okay, Bono, can you paint as he's talking?
And we had to.
Can you spray paint his words on the wall?
Here's a can.
His stillborn cow.
Where's the red? Where's the red?
Do not.
Because
you
know
that's gonna be.
We're
fumes.
Banged over it, man.
I know, but fumes. Let him tell his story about this stillborn calf. This man is trying to be...
It was Chris's idea. And this I paint your face. No, don't stop yelling.
This man is trying to tell this story about a calf.
The neighbors never going to come in when you have this stillborn calf.
That's true.
I can see why they want to annex their garden now.
Oh, my God.
Just stop. He has a really intense
story. Okay, I'm listening. Sorry, I was listening to Chris. I was trying to make a good
host. Don't listen
to
Chris.
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden rule.
Yo.
So it was stillborn inside, but it was rotting inside.
Yeah, you have to get it out.
And you had to get it out.
Oh,
and we had to do... No, obviously, at the time, there was about four of us working on the farm. And had to take it in turns to kind of pull out hair and flesh and bone.
So it had rotted.
It had really rotted. It was decomposing inside.
Why didn't you pull it out before it rotted?
Well, we didn't know. Oh. And the smell was unreal. And we had to kind of do... I mean, these are pretty hardened people, much more hardened than me. And we had to do, like, 30-second shifts because the smell was so bad. Because
the smell.
I was
did the cow
vomiting
live?
And stuff. Yeah, well, that's it. You got to get it out to keep the cow alive.
The cow lived. The
cow lived.
You're a hero.
Yeah. The other one was also a stillborn calf.
Whoa, now. Let's not go to number two stillborn calf.
So
let's
how
stay
many
with
30-second shifts did it take to clear out the whole cow?
I don't know. It took at least... 20 minutes.
Did you dissociate at some point? You don't remember.
Maybe. The smell was... I can still smell it now.
What,
it was awful.
Describe the smell to us.
It wasn't like anything I saw it before. It was really sharp.
Okay, sharp.
Like rotting flesh.
Yeah. How do you describe a smell?
I mean, obviously, like... Well, hold tight. We'll get there. So, you know, rotting flesh, we all kind of, that's a very
but it was
tart.
It was, it, it's a tart, yeah, it was smell. Tart. It was really sweet.
Sweet,
now,
yeah.
Do you remember when at Ridgeview we had a rat in the wall?
Right.
And it smelled.
Yes,
so
that
bad
was bananas
me.
On the so, young adult, on the adolescent unit, there was a raccoon or something that got like stuck in the walls and you smelled it everywhere.
Yeah.
No, it also happened in Pro South. That sweet smell. I can still smell it.
Yeah.
Do you remember in the office?
I don't remember that one, but I remember
God.
Mine.
So it was really grim. Yeah, the smell was awful. And you're just pulling out like chunks of hair and stuff like that. It was. And
you have gloves?
Get inside. Yeah, you got the gloves.
What was the cow doing?
Cow was pretty solid. Cows are really.
Laughing.
The cows are really resilient. They
was cackling.
Yeah, I mean, they've got literally got leather skin. Like they're
what?
Resilient beasts. Oh, yeah.
Wait. Where do cows get access to leather?
The funds.
Moo.
Yeah.
You can't see me doing
cut
the
that
thumbs.
Joke.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut that joke.
Yeah, cut that.
Okay.
If I don't have the thumbs, it doesn't make sense.
The second one was grimmer.
Whoa.
The second one was another stillborn calf.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages.
And we're back.
Yeah. And we're back. Tell
and
us about
back.
That dead cow.
Rock-a-doodle-doo in the morning.
This is fart punching the kid with...
Cow yeah. Dead story.
Stillborn cow.
Who's up for dipshit and Oscar?
Yeah.
This calf was still bodied.
Kicking.
Know. Yeah, no, it was dead, but it was still in its...
Okay.
But it was dead, and it was, again, was toxic shock again in the mother, so you have to get it out. But
so they get...
again,
not me.
That was Kenny Laurie.
That was Kenneth Laurie.
From
so we had to pull it out.
From Shekistan.
Now, calves come out, like, arms first,
okay.
If you like. And that helps them to kind of come out the canal. But the this calf had its arms by its side, if you like. So its shoulders were too big to come out of the...
Okay.
Like Vin Diesel.
Yeah, like Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Like Vin Diesel's mum would have understood this.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
shoulders were too big to come out of the...
She relates,
the
yeah.
minge hole.
Okay.
And
minge, there we go. We got to go into
yeah.
minge.
Yeah, make a note of that for later.
Minge.
Minge.
I do like the
And
word
it was
minge.
Already dead. And we found that we could only get it up to about... Like here at the top of its shoulders before it was causing the mum too much.
Before
pain.
He was signed to do
Fast and
Furious.
I know where
we're
going
Furious.
With this.
Go on, where things going?
You had to saw it off.
Yeah, we hacksawed it in half.
Yeah,
yeah,
you had to. Yeah, I got that. Wow.
So and I still remember now the sound of the head and the torso hitting the ground, then all the guts spilling out.
Got you.
And then my stepdad had to put his hands inside the chest cavity and break the ribs. So that it would be easy enough to pass.
Yeah.
The funny thing is now I tell the story and it
seems
gross.
It is the funny thing, isn't it?
And it seems gross. But at the time it was... There's
erotic.
There is a thing about farming, which is that you're always up against like an absolute need, like an existential need. So you don't actually get to think very hard about whether what you're doing is the right thing or not, because... It has to be done. And it's like, the mum is going to die if you don't do it. So you have to do it. I imagine it's a bit like that dumbness that like doctors talk about. Where,
right.
And the
right.
And at the time, it was like, get the hacksaw. Oh, sure, because there's no other option. So at the time, I remember not thinking very hard about it. It's only in hindsight, telling people the story, that it's... You're like, oh, actually, it's really gross.
Right.
You got that Temple Grandin kind of mindset where like, we can do this the most humane way, but we're going to kill this cow.
Yeah. There's an acceptance of... but nature's grim.
Temple Grandin is
clear danger. I had a calf died in my hands once when I tried to feed it, like, too hard.
And when it refused you.
It did refuse me. And it was... That troubled me more.
The fact that it refused you. This says a lot about you.
Yeah.
I don't like to be told no.
It refused you? What do you mean?
No, it didn't refuse me. Some calves don't suck milk out of a bucket instinctively. So you have to put like a drip. You stick like a tube down their mouth and it goes straight to their belly and you just hold
right.
the milk.
When you say...
And it slipped out my hands and I picked it up and I was getting a bit annoyed. And I picked it up a bit too aggressively and felt like... Picked it up under my arm and I felt its ribs go back.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
As I picked it up too hard and it just sort of like...
Damn.
And just died in my arms. And I was like,
damn. You killed it.
Yeah, killed a calf in my back.
You killed a calf.
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. Shit. Where?
So, okay. So, how young was, like, how?
I was 17.
Did it fuck you up at all? Did you feel?
I felt remorse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how young was the cow?
Like, like 3 days or something.
Okay, so that's how young it can be to you. You can
crush.
Yeah, yeah. After like 3-4 days, they can drink out of a bucket, however bad they are.
So, when that happened, what was like the response on the farm? Like, oh, you
I made that one hush hush.
Oh, you did.
Yeah. Is this your parents were listening?
Because the cow, yeah, no, yeah. Well, it's 10 years have passed. All the cows are gone now.
Yeah, catch me now.
you don't know where I live. The no, a cow's expensive.
Right.
I mean, they were living abroad at the time, so they weren't even there.
It would have just been like...
And calves die.
You lost us some money here.
But I mean, calves die. Like, they get hypothermia... like pneumonia.
Yeah, not when you crush their ribs.
So it's not uncommon for an early calf to die. So to drag a dead calf away and throw it on the pile is not an unseen thing.
So you were like, oh, man.
So I was just like, oh, this thing, fucking useless. I mean, it was... It probably would have died anyway.
This one was weak, yeah. It had like two.
It was weak already.
I mean, it would have died anyway.
If my biceps could crush it, then it would have died anyway.
Woo!
I think that goes for most things.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I don't want to offer you anything. No, I'm actually going to order pizza. I haven't eaten.
Yeah, order us pizza.
And is anybody lactose intolerant? I'm not asking you what you want. Because you've made fun of me, so I'm ordering whatever the fuck I want.
That's order whatever you want.
You just indirectly asked us what we wanted.
No, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to kill any lactose intolerance. I'm not aware. Any food allergies I should be aware of.
No. Okay. Any peanut allergies?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the bad person now?
You are?
They could have had a peanut allergy.
Yeah.
They would have then been smart to not eat it.
Maybe they felt so pressured by your insistence.
It's true. I have a lifelong peanut allergy, and I'm going to die in about 5 seconds. So... Can someone get an EpiPen ready?
I will say, if you want to, because I don't want to exclude Chris in this, because there's been a lot of farm stories here.
So he's killed animals too.
But me and Chris have talked about how we live in a cosmopolitan city, and particularly the foreigners here are very cosmopolitan. And me and Chris we're pretty serious, and I suspect you are too, pretty seriously provincial, and. Not usually from the same stock that everybody else around us.
Yeah, is. I grew up in the countryside where like horses and shit like was running around. Ride a horse.
From pretty serious isolation.
I understand what this word means, but I'm just asking for my listener who might not understand. Provincial. What do you mean by that?
It's just the backwaters.
Yeah, not in the city. Not.
Who's provincial? I know he is. I know you are. Are you provincial too? Where are you from, Ohio or something? Nebraska?
Getting there. Getting close.
Yeah, yeah, around there.
Just
yeah.
getting there.
Iowa.
Iowa.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I grew up in the countryside of Iowa. So, like, we just had, like, forest and fields and shit. But, like, it was like a 10-minute walk to the city. So we weren't in it properly.
10-minute walk to the city. Well,
that's pretty close.
But it was country, so that wasn't much of a city, I presume.
It's not much of a city, no. In fact, yeah.
So, Matt, have you told him about your provincial past?
I mean, I'm
He'd never seen a car until he met me.
You true.
Yeah?
I didn't know what they were. What are you, Bjork?
He didn't even know how to speak English.
You never seen a car?
I was raised by wolves.
Yeah, what do you...
I've come a long way, y'all.
You're
out. I mean, really,
when
I
he
have.
Came blinking out of the cave.
No, he's like suburban, but he's...
No, I mean, I'm from a small southern town.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the mountains of North Carolina. Charlotte, North Carolina, the biggest city, was like 1 hour and 30 minutes away.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
his mom's from Charlotte.
I mean, when did North Carolina first see a car? I think it was like last year.
True. I mean, it's a very small town, but essentially I grew up like, a suburban sort of environment, but... Like, I went to school
it's
with people.
It's not a small town. Let me tell you this. It's a dystopian small town.
You've been there?
Of course. We've been together for 20 years.
Well, I don't know if his family still lives there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Because my family doesn't live in the country anymore. They all moved. My mom lives
country,
in Turkey.
Though. I mean, they live in a small town. Your mom lives in Turkey?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
His mom lives on the Asian side.
I mean, it's not a really, it's like a town of 30,000 people or something.
Right.
Oh, right. See, because we had like three neighbors and then Fia, yeah. So, yeah.
No,
right,
they're now. Like, you know, Kush. Like, you had, his parents were teachers and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a neighborhood. It wasn't the country or anything. I mean, I went to school with people who were like, you might term, quote unquote, hillbillies.
Yeah.
Like you've heard about.
Like Boo Radley.
Yeah, like Boo Radley, fucking.
Do you know Boo Radley?
Yeah, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Deep cut.
Yeah, he showed me, like.